Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
And are we like missing our lights? Are our lights on? It seems a little dark. Maybe we need to turn them on. Oh, that's much better. Okay. So, good morning, everyone. We are here in docket number 24DM2923. We've got Attorney Volz here on behalf of Ms. Spaulding. And do we have Ms. Spaulding? Yeah, I see we have Ms. Spaulding. Good morning, ma'am. Can you turn on your video?
I cannot turn on my video. They did not send me a new link when the meeting ID wouldn't work. So they told me I have to do audio. I'm not sure if that can be resent so that I can have video. Or if I need to stay on the phone. I'm sorry.
Attorney Volz, did you by any chance send your client the link?
Whatever
the court came clerk
to me
did.
For this notice, for this hearing, I sent.
Okay. Is it possible to send it to her again?
I'm trying to actually get online.
Okay.
But I don't have a password yet.
Okay.
A network.
Well, we'll try to get that figured out. And then we've got you, Attorney Hill, good morning, with Dr. Spaulding. He is here. Joining us. Good morning. And I think that is it. So this is our second day of a contested divorce hearing. I saw there was just a whole lot of exhibits filed by you, Mr. Attorney Hill. I appreciate that because I had asked you to do that, to present evidence to justify the support that you were looking at. And I see that you had filed some exhibits along with the proposal. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So I think where we're at,
okay, I'm sending this link as a photo to my client right now, if I may, just real quick.
All right, we'll get her on. And I believe where we were at, we had started Dr. Spaulding's testimony. Yeah, and we hadn't quite finished. And so we'll go ahead. So I think the way we'll start is we'll have Dr. Spaulding. And Ms. Spaulding, we'll have you. I know we can't see you quite yet, but we're going to have you stand up to be sworn in as witnesses.
Raise your right hands. You solemnly swear and affirm that the evidence you shall give will cause harm and restoration of the whole truth, not the pains and penalties of perjury, so help you God.
I do.
No, there was a motion to have Dr. Spaulding appear remotely, which I granted.
So, correct. Yes, a motion on consent, Your Honor. Yeah.
Yep. So let's go ahead. Any luck, Ms. Spaulding? Mr. Bolton, Attorney Bolton, your luck from your...
Oh, sorry. I did send it.
Okay.
I sent it as a photo and an email.
So, Ms. Spaulding, we'll give you an opportunity to try to get that on. You're here by phone, and that's fine, but it would be nice to be able to see you. But I don't want to hold it up too much. So, Dr. Spaulding, you are under oath, and I'll turn to you. Attorney Hill.
Thank you, Your Honor. We do have one other witness, and that's Charlene Spaulding,
okay.
Who has a limited power of attorney for Dr. Spaulding, who has health issues. That's the reason he's not here today. Charlene, this was... confusion on our part. I believed until 8 o'clock this morning that the hearing was at 1 o'clock today. I'm looking at a July 22nd order saying the second day is set for 9-3 at 1. And so I told Ms. Spaulding and Dr. Spaulding 1. It was Dr. Spaulding who noticed the court calendar and brought it to my attention. So I rushed here. We're here on time. But Ms. Spaulding, Charlene, Edward's mother, who is very relevant to this, not just because of the limited power of attorney, but because in the two related cases that are causing a lot of the costs here, she has been drawn in as a defendant, and so she's has firsthand knowledge of that. The other reason she's very, very important is that she's played a significant role in assembling the cost exhibits, and so she, along with Dr. Spaulding, is competent to testify as to our cost exhibits.
Okay, I'm looking at the notice of hearing that I see on July 21st, and it says 9 a.m., so I'm not quite sure what the confusion is. But I'm glad you're here. So
Thank you.
That's what I see. So maybe, is there something else that we sent out?
I believe it was a mix-up between the entry order and what was stated on there versus
the So maybe I had indicated in my entry order was that one. Let's see. Yeah, that's exactly right. I had my entry order indicated 1 o'clock, and we sent out a notice of hearing at 9 o'clock. So we changed it from what I had indicated. So so we apologize. So I'm glad you made it. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So let's go ahead and let's go ahead and proceed. I think you had not completed his testimony, if I'm not mistaken.
I had not. And I think, you know, you made clear also in your July 22nd order that we have 1 hour today. And so to make that work, I think I can do it in an hour. In fact, I think I could present my case in a half an hour.
Okay.
The way to do that is, and Dr. Spaulding, I apologize, I might do this a little last minute with you. I had told you that I was going to ask your mother to testify as to Exhibit P, the cost summary, but were you intimately involved in the preparation of Exhibit P, as in Paul, Dr. Spaulding?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Would you feel able to testify as to the contents of P, Dr. Spaulding?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Spaulding, you submitted an exhibit last Friday.
I'm
so sorry.
Forgive me. That's all right.
Yes.
I thought we were doing preliminary things. Just because we're creating a record, let's just have him state his name, and then we'll have you start your questions.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dr. Spaulding, please state your name for the record.
Yeah, Dr. Edward Charles Spaulding.
And you can remain seated if it's easier for you. It's a little awkward when they're not here, so that's fine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, we have a number of exhibits that we filed, and I think it might be easier for you, and I have a copy for Your Honor, if I could approach you.
Sure, I've got some defendant's exhibits.
You do have our exhibits, which I marked 1 through 14, and you made clear that the expectation here is that they should have letters. We have additional exhibits which do have letters, and I also have relabeled 1 through 14 as A through N as in Nancy. But we can go with 1 through 14, and we can go P through Y. P through Y are in front of you now.
Yep. These here that I got you last time was the 1 through 14, that one you're now labeling A through N, and then these are the remainder. Is that right?
Yes, the documents that are in your hand are the ones that I filed last Friday, August 29th, and those are exhibits P through Y.
Okay. And has Mr. Attorney Volz, have you received a copy of these?
I did, Judge. I had trouble printing them out in that the exhibits themselves aren't marked. The PDF is marked. But as I started to print these out, I noticed there was nothing distinguishing one from the other, so I had hoped to sign into the courts, either to the portal or to my OneDrive, and that's what I'm attempting to do now.
Okay. Have you folks talked about, so I can speed this along, are you moving to admit these exhibits?
If I could say a couple of things. Yes, I'd like to admit all of these exhibits. I've twice written Mr. Volz to see if we could stipulate as to their admissibility. And also yesterday, Mr. Volz asked me if I would copy the exhibits for him. I said I would, but I did ask him if he would be willing to reimburse the cost to Dr. Spaulding. Mr. Volz declined that. So,
In fact, I asked, would a copy of the exhibits be brought to court? They said they could be for $125. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a little bit excessive for them. I have no doubt that they paid a lot of money for these things, but I figured I would try to access them this way.
Okay. Well, I do appreciate the hard work. So I've got that, and I appreciate that. if you've had what I'm really getting at is, you haven't had a chance to see them? Okay, so we can't just move to admit them. Okay, all right.
I have a copy here of our text exchanges from yesterday, so we don't have to go with Mr. Volz's memory versus mine. I have copies of our text exchanges yesterday, and it's
no, that's all right. I just what I'm really trying to get at is, can we get these admitted? And it sounds like you're moving to admit them, but Attorney Volz hasn't had a chance to see them yet. So that's okay. So we'll just have to go through them one at a time.
Right. I do want to correct the record. I said I got a text from a number I didn't recognize. Hi, Michael, will you be bringing exhibits for me tomorrow? My response within minutes, I don't recognize this number. Is this Kevin? Kevin Volz. Simple response. Copy. Yes, I'll bring copies for you. But I ask that you agree to reimburse the cost tomorrow to Ed and Charlene. Okay? Question mark. Thanks, Mike. Response. Okay, how much are we talking? Response. After discounts, one-fourth of $436.59. Response. Okay, never mind. I will bring
that's
my
okay.
own.
That's
but thank you.
That's all right. And I actually want to clear the record. It doesn't really matter. What I'm really trying to get at is can we get these admitted because we only have an hour. So let's focus on what
I appreciate that. We have – okay.
So let's go ahead and let's – if we – I think what's going to happen is Attorney Volz will probably be able to pull these up, and then we'll just go through those exhibits, and then we'll see from Attorney Volz if there's any objections. If they're not, we'll just go ahead.
I do hope so. I don't want to lose time messing around with exhibits.
Yep,
but
let's keep going.
Dr. Spaulding, you have exhibits accessible to you, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Dr. Spaulding, please look at exhibit Q. And is that, and please describe that exhibit. And just what is that exhibit?
Give me 1 second. So exhibit Q is, we have Q. There's Q3 and Q6, so just
I'm only asking about Exhibit Q. Let me put it this way, if I could, Your Honor, might speed things along. Is Exhibit Q a copy of your sworn statement regarding facts in this matter, Dr. Spaulding?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. And are Exhibits Q3 and Q6 true and accurate copies of the documents as you described them in Exhibit Q?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Rather than take time for him to go through everything in Exhibit Q, we can take a moment for Mr. Volz to read Exhibit Q or for you to read it, Your Honor. But Exhibit Q, do you affirm here today, you've already sworn to it in the paper, but do you swear today to the truth of everything that's in Exhibit Q, Dr. Spaulding?
Yes, I do.
If I may see your copy. Excuse me, if I may see a copy.
And Dr. Spaulding, while that's going on, I'm going to ask, while they're reviewing this, I'm going to ask you, Dr. Spaulding, to look at Exhibit S and read it over, please. Because I'm going to ask you about that next. No, I misspoke. Exhibit P, as in Paul, Dr. Spaulding.
This I've never quite had this done before, but so
I object, and that's a hearsay statement.
Yeah, it is a hearsay statement. I know you're trying to be efficient, but he needs to testify to it. So I know it's a summary of that. So why don't we? And so that's Q. Q3 looks like some photographs. Did you want to just establish a foundation of what we're looking at and the relevance? And then
Exhibit Q, I would take the position, is not hearsay. It's a statement of a party, and the party is here to be asked about everything.
But it's not against a party. It's not against a party.
Okay.
So
right.
So I think,
Dr. Spaulding, will you please read out loud Exhibit Q?
Yes. I, Edward Spaulding, state as follows.
Sustain that. He just needs to testify. We don't do this in narrative form. You ask a question, and then he responds. I understand you're trying to be efficient. He can use this document to refresh his memory, but he can't just submit his testimony in written fashion. Okay, that is hearsay. I have to sustain the objection. If you want him to read it out loud, that's in narrative form. I'm going to object to that. There's been an objection. I'm going to sustain it. You can just go right through it. Just ask the question. He's not too weak from it, but if he needs to refresh his memory, you can say, you need to refresh your memory, and then you can read from it.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dr. Spaulding, during the time that you and plaintiff were married, did you take any student loans?
Yes.
And were those loans, to what extent were those loans for yours and plaintiff's joint expenses?
My loans were used 100% for our living expenses for both of us.
And what was the amount of the loans that you took out during the 49 months of your marriage and used?
$53,012.54.
And how does that compare with the amount of loans that plaintiff claimed to have taken out and used during that same time period?
Further 813 evidence, they are claiming $54,198.
Now, do you believe that plaintiff used all $54,000 of her claimed expenses on joint living expenses?
No, because I know for a fact that residency expenses were part of that.
To what extent do you believe plaintiff did not use her student loan expenses for anything but her own personal matters?
I'm unsure based on the question.
Thank you. What amount of the $54,000 that are claimed do you believe plaintiff spent solely on her own residency and other education-related expenses?
My approximate amount that she spent on residency was $8,040.
She used $8,000 of your money for her residency expenses. Is that what you're saying?
Initially, yes, but she reimbursed me for a little over $3,000 of that.
Okay. So she used roughly $5,000 of your money toward her residency expenses. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was around $4,700, yes.
And in addition to that, she used approximately $8,000 of the student loans for her residency and other individual education expenses.
She was supposed to. The residency was supposed to be $8,040 of the $54,000. She never had the money for the...
Your audio is off.
Me.
Oh, sorry. Repeat the last
she had the
10 seconds, please.
Yeah, she had to borrow money from me in advance to pay for residencies because student loans never came in time. And the last two residencies she has not reimbursed me for.
Let me ask the question this way. Of the student loans that were taken out by you and by plaintiff during the 49 months of your marriage, and that were used by you jointly, whose were greater, the amount used from your student loans or the amounts used from plaintiff student loans?
Well, when you account for the residency expenses, mine would be much greater.
I'm only asking about the student loans now. Of the student loans, roughly $53,000 of yours taken out during those 49 months, and plaintiff has claimed roughly $54,000 of hers during that time period. My question is simply to you, of the 53 and the 54, which was used more as compared to the other for your combined joint living expenses?
Mine was 100% used for living expenses for us both.
And to what extent would you say her $54,000 were used for joint living expenses?
I can't guesstimate the percentage, but obviously the 54 minus the 8,000 would be the amount that was probably used for living expenses.
Okay, thank you. What are the total amount of your student loans, Dr. Spaulding?
Last I checked, $512,702.72.
Okay.
Can I get that figure again? I'm sorry.
Sorry?
Can I get that figure?
$512,700.
And it's in paragraph 3 of his exhibit Q.
Thank you.
All of these
things. How did it go from $512,000 to
$53,000? He is testifying now as to his total amount of student loans over even pre-marriage and over marriage. And the reason he's doing that is because plaintiff also, in her exhibit 1, discussed $350,000 worth of total student loans. Plaintiff, for example, included her college student loans in her $350,000 number.
What are folks? I'm assuming I'm going to give everybody their own loans. Is there a claim that he wants her to pay part of his loan?
We submitted this information only for comparative purposes, Your Honor. Plaintiff in her plaintiff's exhibit one, I believe the number is, said that she has over time accumulated student loans of $350,000. And she claimed in her testimony that 54 of that was taken out during the marriage and used for the marriage or for joint expenses. Our only point here is to say, well, if you compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges, Dr. Spaulding's total student loans of 512 are larger than plaintiff's of 350.
Okay.
And Dr. Spaulding's, the loans he took out during the marriage, which is what Your Honor and I think Mr. Voles claimed were the most relevant things July 21st, Dr. Spaulding's were, his apples to apples student loans were $1,000 less during that time period than plaintiff's. 53,000 versus 54.
Okay.
That's our only purpose.
Okay.
And then what Dr. Spaulding has testified to a moment ago is to say, yes, his were $1,000 less, but they were used by at least $7,000 more.
Okay.
Turning now to well, I think we covered paragraph 4 in your July 21st testimony, or paragraph 5, I should say. Let's talk about the goat sales. So on July 21st, Dr. Spaulding, and I believe in documentary exhibits, plaintiff claimed to have sold the goats for roughly $5,500. Do you remember that? That was it?
I remember her stating such.
And that was that stated in the transcript in this case at page 51, to your best of your recollection?
To the best of my recollection, yes.
In fact, you looked at that when you wrote this statement.
Objection. Leading.
Yeah. I'm gonna overrule it for now, but just try not to be. I know you've gotta go quickly, so I'm gonna give you a little bit of leeway.
And I think do you agree with Ms. Spaulding's statement July 21st? That you received none of the proceeds of those goat sales. Is that correct?
That's correct. I've not received any money from Ms. Spaulding.
Right. And we went over exhibits during July 18th that you were a 49% owner of the goats. Is that right? That was agreed to between you and plaintiff. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, do you believe that plaintiff... What do you believe was the value of the goats that Courtney sold for $5,500 or says she sold for that amount? What do you believe was the fair market value of those goats?
Fair market value as estimated by the plaintiff herself was $21,000.
I'm going to ask you to look at exhibit... P3.
Okay.
Do you have it before you?
Pulling it up now.
I think you can do this without even looking at it, Dr. Spaulding. P3 is the August 23. Well, no, you better look at it.
I'm good. I got it, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Please describe what is exhibit P3.
The exhibit is the executive summary written by the plaintiff and sent to me through email regarding the value of our shared herd of goats, which at that time consisted of 7 milking does, 6 replacement dolings, 5 adult bucks, 3 replacement bucklings, and she said that they were approximately worth $21,000 in this document.
And approximately what is the date of this executive summary document as reflected in P3?
I believe it was, it was written in 2023, I know that, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
So looking at the highlighted portions of exhibit P3 as written by plaintiff, she is saying that The value of the goats was approximately $21,000 at that time.
It hasn't been admitted yet.
Yeah, that's right. So sustained.
Is that correct?
Well, that's, we have an
yes. $21,000 was the market value.
So why don't you see if there's any objection to? Do you want to admit P3?
I'd like to move to admit all of my exhibits, Your Honor.
No, I know that. I don't think he's able to do that. Otherwise, I'd do it. But let's go ahead with P3. Attorney Volz.
So, Judge, I do see. Sorry. An executive summary. I don't see a date here. It has been.
I think this is really being used just to demonstrate.
Yeah, sure. Then that's fine. That's fine. There are seems to be text messages that are attached to it, but I cannot make them out. I'm just wondering what those
are. I do see this. There's some text. What is the point of that?
The date is identified. It was just identified by Dr. Spaulding. It was identified in our exhibit list, which were given to Mr. Volz August 26th and again August 29th. And we twice asked Mr. Volz to, we seven times asked Mr. Volz to talk to us about settlement. And we twice asked
just,
him
hold
to
on,
talk to
hold
us.
On. I know. Well, I'm going to really streamline you folks because we're here now. All the things that you talked about earlier. There is no settlement because here we are. So I think the testimony is correct. It was from 2023, so we have that. And I'm assuming you're moving to introduce P3 to demonstrate that the goats were sold for $5,500, but really they were worth more, $21,000. Is that the reason why you're moving to?
I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm just trying to understand.
Dr. Spaulding will testify that they were sold for more than $5,500. In fact, and that they were sold for a greater amount, which he'll testify to. But let's get to this. They were sold, and we got into this a little bit July 21st. This, the Venmo receipts show they were sold for more than $10,000. Dr. Spaulding will testify that even $10,000 was a fire sale, that the goats were worth
looking for
around
a claim
$40,000.
The loss value of these goats?
He's absolutely looking for a claim as to the goats, yes. And that's all reflected in our exhibit P-1.
Okay. Understanding that, Attorney Volz, any objection to P3?
I would object to the appended pages, Judge. There's an executive summary, which my client will get to rebut if it wasn't from her. But if it is from her, then we're fine with that.
Okay.
There's one page. But then there's all these other pages that I guess are Venmo. It's hearsay. There's all kinds of people referenced there. I don't know what it is.
Kimberly Johnson paid Courtney Stern Spaulding $3,000 due. I can surely admit any Venmo state. I guess it's Venmo statements by Ms. Stearns because it's an admission against a party opponent. But I can't admit anything from anybody else because that would be hearsay.
It's an odd thing, Your Honor, and I don't truly understand it.
He was asking what he thought the goats were sold for, and he may have gotten that information from Ms. Spaulding.
What do you believe the goats were sold for, Dr. Spaulding, and what's the grounds for your belief?
I believe the goats were sold for around $10,200. The basis of belief is that Ms. Spaulding is friends with me on my Venmo account, so I can actually see the transactions and the dates of those transactions for what she sold or allegedly sold the goats for. Furthermore, she submitted in discovery her own bank accounts, which show Venmo transfers of significantly more than $5,500. She has given us no evidence, none whatsoever, of the goat sales on the date she claims for $5,500. All evidence that we have been given, all evidence that I have seen, shows that she made significantly more at different dates.
Okay, let's move on. Yep. I think you've
got a lot to
go
through. Yep. I also... Dr. Spaulding, Exhibit P3, which are plaintiff's words, said that had the goats been left with the farm, you could have generated how much in income in 2024 with those goats, according to plaintiff?
Yeah, the projected profits for what the plaintiff had written and sent to me by email was $40,708.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to admit, and please describe Oh, you already have described the rest of the P3. I'd like to move for P3 to be admitted into evidence, Your Honor.
And by P3, you mean both this executive summary and these non-hearsay statements by Ms. Spaulding?
Right.
Okay, any objection?
That's fine.
Okay, they'll be admitted.
Hey, Dr. Spaulding, let's turn back to Exhibit Q. Had the goats remained at the farm, would you have continued to farm them or use the goats?
Yes, that was my plan.
Okay. When plaintiff left, did she leave you with any credit card debt?
Yes, significant credit card debt.
Okay. Please look at Exhibit Q4. And please tell the court approximately what was the amount of credit card debt.
Q4? I see Q4.
Q4. It's behind the exhibit.
Yeah.
Oh, I misspoke. At least this is written. It shouldn't be Q4. It should be exhibit, probably P7. So that's... No, not P7.
Should be P1.
Well, P1 is the summary, but P9, I think, are the credit card statements. But we could, all right, let's look at P1. That might be a good guideline for everybody to see as an overview. That's a good time to turn to that. Dr. Spaulding?
Yeah. I have it.
Okay, would you please describe what is Exhibit P1, Dr. Spaulding?
P1 is a spreadsheet of the debts that I was burdened with after the solely burdened with after the plaintiff left.
Okay. So the first line in P1 is $11,438. Do you see that?
Well, let me just go ahead in a minute. This is so we've got about 15 minutes, and so. Attorney Volz, I see it's just a summary.
That's fine.
Okay, so let's go ahead. It speaks for itself. So P1 will be admitted, and I understand he's looking for the owed to defendant by plaintiff, the 105-893. That's half of 211-787. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so he's summarized all these different Shea litigation, loan, container litigation.
Yes, he has, yes.
No, I understand that. This is a summary. There's no verification behind it, but I understand it's really being used for argument. So for that purpose,
yes.
I'll allow that. Okay. He won't be admitted for argument. Okay?
P1 will be admitted for argument?
Yep.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. P1 refers to P2 through P13. Are you familiar with those exhibits, Dr. Spaulding?
Yes, I am.
Can you verify that those are true and accurate copies of those documents as they are identified in P1?
Absolutely.
And as they are identified also in P2 through P13?
Yes.
Will you look also at P14?
Yes.
Now, P15. And please describe what is P15?
P15 is also a spreadsheet. It talks about student loans that were jointly held, that were used jointly, talks about the damages that the plaintiff left behind to the property. It talks about the unpaid portion of the residency expenses where I was saddled with the last two residencies. It talks about the 49 months of rental value that the plaintiff had without any cost of rent whatsoever during the course of the marriage, not even previous to the marriage. And then her counseling business, and what she did is she used the GOAT funds and then transferred those into her business account for her counseling business. And the cost that it cost myself. And then, the job that I left in part because the plaintiff demanded I leave that job, and no longer provide home care or respite services to people with disabilities in my home, but she felt threatened by them.
Do you believe that the contents of Exhibit P-15 are accurate, Dr. Spaulding?
Yes.
Do those contents rely on other exhibits that are reflected in Exhibit P-15? And do you, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And can you verify that those are true and accurate copies of those exhibits and that those exhibits are accurate?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to admit P-15 also, Your Honor.
Any objection?
Judge, I would say for the same purposes, P-1 for argument.
For purpose of argument, yep. So P-15 will be for purposes of argument.
I'm not sure I understand that distinction, Your Honor.
Meaning you're arguing, I mean, this is just a summary. This is not, like, for example, he said e-student loans. There's no document here that actually confirms the student loans are $53,000. I'm sure it's in here somewhere. So you basically took in all the different pieces of evidence and summarized it into a spreadsheet. So for that purpose, it helps me understand that your argument is that he's arguing in P1, he's asking for $105,000. And then for P15, he's coming up with, I suppose what you're asking for is $53,000 plus 5 plus 3 plus 4 plus 108 plus 30 plus 50. Right? You're making those arguments that he's entitled to that.
It's a bit nuanced. It's really P1 that we're seeking half of as reflected in our final stipulation, which we also submitted on August 29th. P15 is to show you that P1 in our final stipulation is more than reasonable or is extraordinarily reasonable.
I don't even know what you're looking for.
I understand.
So if you want to tell me, just maybe that's where you should start. I understand. I've got P1, and I thought, it was P.
Okay, certainly.
P.
But let me do say, this is why I had wanted to stipulate to these admissibility of these exhibits and work with Mr. Bowles ahead of time, but had no opportunity to do that.
Okay.
P14 is, I believe, the document that you might be looking at. Please describe P14, Dr. Spaulding, in light of the judge's comment a moment ago about proof of your loans.
Yeah, that is the Northfield Savings Bank summary of all the student loans for myself that were deposited in the account.
So
throughout the time period of when we were married, there is one additional loan at the bottom prior to the marriage that was not counted as part of the $53,000.
Right. So these... P14 confirms the first line of your P15, is that correct?
That's correct.
And it also confirms the accuracy of paragraph 1 in your Exhibit Q, correct?
So you're saying,
yes.
If I add all this Northfield, I'm going to get to 53,14, is that right?
Yes.
53,000.
Yeah, with one,
one
of them, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor. You'll get to more than 60,000. The 7,000... $69 one was prior to the marriage, that March 2021, so I did not count that as part of the $53,000, even though some of it may have been used for the marriage.
Okay.
It's confusing, yeah. The summary as it came out, he did include two entries, the bottom two, which were before their August 2020 marriage. So he's making clear that this summary does confirm the $53,000, but it actually shows more than that because it reflects two loans that he took prior to the marriage but used partly during the marriage.
Yeah, it only excludes the bottom one. Everything else is included in the $53,000.
The $7,000 is excluded because that's March 2020.
That's correct. Yeah, everything else is included because everything else was used for the marriage.
Okay. And that, if I added that up, what would I get? The 53,000?
You'll get the 53,000 we keep talking about, yes.
Okay.
So I believe we have documented his student loans are greater than plaintiff's student loans.
Are you moving
loans to
admit P14?
Yes, please.
Any objection?
No objection, Judge. Although
P14 will be admitted.
We don't agree. We don't know for certain what these are for. It's not indicated, but we hear the representation.
Yeah. So then that's fully subject to cross. You can cross-examine on that.
We're doing our best, and we know we don't have much time, but we're doing this in comparison to the plaintiff gave zero documentation of her
student loans. Just keep going. We don't need argument. Let's just keep going.
Did the plaintiff ever ask you to invest with her in a property in New York, Dr. Spaulding?
Yes.
Approximately how much money did she ask you to contribute toward that New York property?
We contributed at least $5,150 as a down payment. She also asked my mother to go in on the loan. My mother filled out documents with a company called The Guild to try to help us secure a home loan for that property.
Does Exhibit P-12 reflect the check that you wrote to support the plaintiff's desire to buy this property in New York?
It does not. It actually supports the check written by the plaintiff herself, demonstrating that she had full control over monetary funds.
Okay. But the check is for $5,150, correct?
I can't even read that. Is that what that says?
The plaintiff wrote a check for $5,150.
That's reflected, Your Honor, also in the very useful P1. The third to bottom line is 5,150, and that in turn refers to P12. And P12, you're right, it is very difficult to read. It's 5,150. The point here, if I may, is that plaintiff helped herself to $5,150 towards buying a property in New York. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did plaintiff abandon that money?
That is my understanding. The plaintiff was primarily in charge of that entire purchase, and I was not included in on all the details.
Did you ever receive any of that $5,000 back, Dr. Spaulding?
No.
Why do you believe plaintiff abandoned her desire to buy the property in New York?
My understanding is she decided to buy a property in Alabama against my wishes and did so through her family.
Did she ask you to invest in that property in Alabama?
Yes, she asked me to move that property.
There's an objection, speculation.
It's not speculation. I'm asking him, did she ask you to invest in the property in Alabama?
Well, that's not what I heard.
Did plaintiff ask you to invest in the property in Alabama?
Yes, she did. And she also asked me to move there.
Turning to Exhibit Q, does Exhibit Q reflect the property that plaintiff asked you to invest in?
Yes.
Q where? Q what? Q number?
I'm so sorry, Your Honor. It's Q6.
Q6. When you say Q6, you mean paragraph 6.
Q-6. It is in your stack of exhibits there.
Okay. Yep.
There's Q, and then two exhibits past it is Q6.
Well, this is a Zillow posting.
Yes, it is.
Of a home.
As well as the deed for the home.
Look at the last page of Exhibit Q6, please, Dr. Spaulding.
Yes.
And please describe what that document is.
That is the deed for the property that the plaintiff wished me to buy and move to in Alabama.
This is page 12 for clarification.
Although what I see here is on page Q6.
Page 12.
It's the last page of Exhibit Q6.
This is an assessment record by Christy Koch and Vermont 29.
Christy Koch is the person who...
No, that is a deed.
I have a question, and I don't want people to interrupt.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm trying to identify what you've just identified. So what I see here, and I want to make sure I'm looking at the same, that's what I'm really getting at. Mm-hmm. I see an assessment record by Christy Koch at an address in Brandon, Vermont. I don't see a deed. Is that what we're looking at here?
Yes, this is explained, which I might proffer for the court in Exhibit Q. All of this is explained in Exhibit Q. I would like to at least proffer all of my exhibits today. And all of this is fully explained because we don't have time. We couldn't finish what I need to do to rebut plaintiff's testimony the other day if we had 8 hours. I couldn't possibly do it.
Well,
according to evidence.
Attorney Bolt, I understand. I do this a fair amount. If we can just admit all the documents, let's just admit them. If there's any hearsay, I'll exclude it.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, so we're just going to admit your evidence. And that means we're going to be admitting P1, P2, P3, P4, P5, P6, P7, P8, P9, P10, P11, P12, P13, P14, P15, Q, Q3, Q6, S, T, V, X, and Y. Is that right?
Those are all admitted?
I'm just admitting them. Yep.
Thank you. That's wonderful, Your Honor.
Okay. So, but back to where we were, which is P12, I don't see any deed because that's important. If there is property in Alabama, then I need to know. And that P12.
It's hard. I misspoke. I probably did misspeak. It's the very last page of Q6.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. You did say that. Q6.
But it is what you just said, Judge. What I have here is the very last page is page 12, and it says exactly what the court said. And I think that's what you have.
Right. I don't see it.
It starts with Iverson at the top. Iverson Gandy.
It might be easier for you to follow it this way.
Yeah, but is this the document you're referring to?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. But I think the issue is it's not a warranty deed.
The issue is what?
It's not a warranty deed. Is that what it's being presented as?
The document is presented to identify that the owner of this property is the plaintiff's aunt, Christy Koch, who was in court with us on July 21st.
I have no testimony in that, and I have no idea why this is relevant. I don't know what this is.
Would you please describe why Exhibit Q6 is relevant in your own words, Dr. Spaulding?
Yes. The plaintiff failed to identify the property purchased in Alabama where she is currently residing as part of the potential properties that she's involved with or owns part ownership with. She failed to give evidence of who owns and how much money she has contributed to this property.
What property?
The Alabama
the property in Alabama.
This document talk about an Alabama property?
Where does it talk about?
I'm looking at the last page of P6, Q6, forgive me. And you're saying it was a deed, which it's not. It is. I'm not looking at my document.
This property, the last page of Q6 pertains, it was mailed to Christy Koch, who lives in Brandon, Vermont.
Okay.
But the property that it pertains to is an Alabama property.
Where does it say that?
Upper right corner.
Okay. So you're looking at this P.O. Box 830420, Tuskegee, Alabama. Is that what you're looking at?
Well, this is just a partial document, but Dr. Spaulding should... Please describe, Dr. Spaulding, what is this last page of Exhibit Q6?
So the property is best identified through the parcel number. This is a record given to me by Iverson Gandy Jr., who is in his, it's an assessment record of the property. That's the heading. Underneath the heading is a copy of the deed. I understand it does not say warranty deed on it, as my understanding of what you're looking for. But it is, in fact, a copy of what Alabama seems to consider a deed. It is the parcel number for the property in Alabama where the plaintiff is currently residing. The question is, who owns it and how much money the plaintiff herself had committed to the purchase of the property
and the range that they had?
Well,
that's the question.
That's what would be explained if we could have gotten an Exhibit Q. Exhibit Q will tell us that it's in paragraph 11. Why don't you read Exhibit? Well, no, you can't do that.
This is what we've done. We've
Describe.
Admitted all your, hold on. We've admitted all your documents. Okay, so they're all in, including Q. So you got it in. So let's go ahead. And is there anything else that you'd like me to know? I'll go ahead and read Q. Is there anything else? Because we are out of time, and I want to give Attorney Bolt's time to cross-examine, and then I'll hear your proffer as to what your witness would say.
When was a deposit put Does Exhibit Q6 all pertain to the Alabama property that plaintiff wanted you to invest in?
Yes.
Does Exhibit Q reflect when plaintiff put a deposit down on that property?
Yes, it's reflected in the Zillow listing.
When did she put down a deposit on that property as compared to the date that she left your marriage?
And where does it say she put the deposit?
Dr.
Well, that's a great question. Who put down the deposit? Because, again, the assessment record, as you're referencing it, shows that her aunt owns the property. But again, I know for a fact that the plaintiff was trying to buy that property and wanted to buy that property and likely used funds taken from the marriage to purchase the property. Again, they have submitted no evidence to the contrary. And we have asked for evidence in discovery, and they told us that they would not give us that.
Go ahead. I understand your position that she owns the property. Let's go ahead and allow you to cross-examine Attorney Volz. Do you have any questions?
No, we're fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Your proffer, what was your proffer, Mr. Volz, Mr. Attorney Hill, for your witness? What would she testify to?
Charlene Spaulding would testify to everything that is in Exhibit P, and Dr. Spaulding would testify as to everything that is in Exhibit Q.
P. She would testify to everything in P. So okay. I've already admitted it, so we don't need to worry about that.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. So I think that's it. Do you wish to have any rebuttal, Attorney Volz?
Yes, Judge. In fact, what I thought would be most respectful of the Court's time is I would ask Dr. Spaulding a couple of questions, just one or two,
okay.
And then turn it right over to my client where she can go through the various things that he testified to.
So let's go. I'm sorry, I did ask you. Do you have some questions for Dr. Spaulding?
I do, just briefly.
Okay, go ahead.
If I may ask Dr. Spaulding, when we're looking at Exhibit Q, you'd have to admit there's nothing there that ties this property to my client, either in the Zillow
record.
That's
incorrect. I have text from your client indicating that her interest in purchasing the property. They can be submitted as evidence after the fact if necessary.
So the answer to my question is there's nothing on Q that shows that.
Leading question that is not relevant to the actual.
You don't get to argue. Attorney Spaulding, you don't get to argue. You just have to answer the question. So just answer the question. If there's an objection, your attorney will make it.
What I would say, Your Honor, is that Exhibit Q, together with Dr. Spaulding's testimony, together with the timing of this purchase and the relationship of the owner who doesn't even live in Alabama, there is strong circumstantial evidence.
Okay, but that's our argument, and that's not an objection. So I'm going to overrule an objection.
And
you may ask your question.
And just real quick, Dr. Spaulding, isn't it impossible to prove this negative? You're saying my client put up no proof that she doesn't own a property in Alabama. How does one
quite the opposite? You and your client submitted discovery evidence that you had nothing that you were trying to hide, and this shows that you're trying to hide something.
Let's go ahead and hear from your client. I think that's going to be the most.
That'll be fine. Thank you,
okay.
Judge.
So you're all set, Dr. Spaulding, as a witness, and we'll go ahead. Ms. Spaulding, you are under oath. Okay, we swore both of you in before we begin today. So we'll have you start by just stating your name for the record.
Spaulding.
Okay. Go ahead, Attorney Volz.
Thank you. You've heard the testimony last time and today. Tell the court, is there anything that you take issue with, and why don't we start with this point that we just ended on, the Alabama property. Do you or do you not own a property in Alabama?
I do not own a property in Alabama.
Okay. The value of the goats. I'm just going to go to a couple of things that I remember off the top of my head, and then I'm going to turn it off over to you. But the value of the goats, please address that.
The value of the goats was calculated, according to Dr. Spaulding, in 2023. The goat market has since dropped drastically every year since 2020. Additionally, when the goats were removed from the property as ordered by Dr. Spaulding in a text message saying that if they were not removed, there would be charged rent for any animal left on the property.
When was that?
That was the day he ordered me to leave.
Which was?
The same September 25th, 2024.
Objection.
Thank you.
What was the basis?
Well, I appreciate that it's party opponent and there is that issue, but I've not seen any text messages. We're relying on text messages, true. But we've provided the text messages. Okay. If we're going to, with 2 minutes to go in this hearing, hear a brand new alleged text from plaintiff, well, I object.
I understand you object. Overruled. So the testimony was he ordered her to leave. That's the information I have.
When he ordered me to leave, all of the goat materials were not able to be taken.
She has limited power. She's my witness, also has limited power of attorney to speak for Dr. Spaulding.
Okay, we'll just have her sit right back here until we're ready for her. That's okay.
I'm not understanding.
You're fine. Just have a seat back here.
Just, she wants you to sit back
here. Go back here.
Okay. So the value of the goats has depreciated. The initial figure that was based on what? What was the purchase price of these goats?
Purchase price of these goats ranged between $200 and $800 per
annum. Objection. No foundation.
Okay, that's okay. I'm the overrule. It's her estimate, and that can come in.
And I'm not sure if the court heard you, but I didn't. What was the value?
$200 to $800 is what most goats were purchased for, other than the animals that were bred on the property, which were free, technically.
Okay.
I did want to add that part of the reason the goats were sold for so little was it was fall, which goat prices, any livestock prices, are less in the fall because you have to feed them through the winter. Additionally, the goats were being dried off, which makes them worth less. And they needed to be sold quickly since Dr. Spaulding retained all of the fencing and materials required to house the goats. So they had to be, they were unable to be kept.
Okay.
In any safe manner.
And as far as the amounts of money that was used by each of you towards living expenses during your relationship, can you address that, Dr. Spaulding's testimony in that regard?
Yes. Dr. Spaulding was receiving living expenses money during his student loans between 2020 when we got married and 2022 when he graduated with his doctorate. My calculation of my student loan money was based only on the time from 2022 to 2024 when Edward was no longer receiving living expenses money. Thus, my student loan money was the only money provided for living expenses. I did not include the entirety of our marriage in the student loan total that I gave.
Okay.
I only gave it from the time he was under or unemployed.
Objection.
During our marriage.
What's the basis for the objection?
Well, it's new information. It contradicts her prior information. There's no documents for a single penny of her student loan expenses. So I cannot represent Dr. Spaulding in this way. We gave Ms. Spaulding 90 minutes on July 21st to present her case. The objection is I have not had sufficient time to present my case. I haven't even had a chance to cross-examine plaintiff yet. And now Kevin is cross-examining my client, bringing back his client for redirect. I've just never, I object to these procedures. I have a witness here who came here July 21st, now call her July 21st. She can testify as to all the costs. And I have other documents to introduce. Okay. Ms. Spaulding on July 21st gave false testimony to you, knowingly false testimony.
I'm just trying to keep us on track. You had an objection to her testimony that he was unemployed from 2022 to 2024. You raised an objection. I'm going to overrule the objection.
So that wasn't what I was objecting to. I was objecting to her providing new information now as to the allegations of student loans that they lived off of during their 49 months of marriage.
Okay, and I'll let you cross-examine on that. Okay?
The larger issue, Your Honor, is that on the critical issue of the degree to which she had prolonged the Shea litigation.
That's argument. And you may question on that, but this is not an objection.
These are new facts, Your Honor. These are new facts.
Please have a seat. Have a seat. Overrule. Please continue.
Thank you. And if you would, the amount of money that is represented by Dr. Spaulding to have been used on joint expenses, that was up until this period of his unemployment? Is that what your testimony is?
I'm really kind of lost as to where we were before the interruption.
I wondered if when you heard Dr. Spaulding testify regarding the money that he said was used for joint living expenses, do you dispute that?
I do, because at that time I was also receiving living expense money for student loans.
And what is your position as to each of these figures that the court has received from yourself and Dr. Spaulding?
My opposition is the fact that he is asking for money that was given to him for living expenses at a time when I was also receiving money for my own living expenses.
And so are you saying that the money he received did not supplement your contribution?
Correct.
You're contributing?
Correct.
And are you saying that there came a time when only you were paying these expenses?
Correct.
And that was from when to when, approximately?
That was from, I believe, early 2022 when Dr. Spaulding graduated with his doctorate and was no longer eligible for student loan money until the date of separation. I was still in school and receiving living expenses money, as well as earning a paycheck.
Okay. Did you want to address the reference to the Shea litigation? Are you a part of that litigation, a named party?
I am a named party.
Do you have do you have an attorney in that matter?
Yes.
And is the case still ongoing?
To my understanding, the Shea one is.
And in the Shea litigation, what is the extent of liability for Dr. Spaulding and you? And what are you asking the court to do about that?
Dr. Spaulding owns the property that the issue is surrounding. Additionally, the issue dates back to the 1970s when the easement wasn't done correctly. I believe my parents were 10 around that time. So I kind of moved into a house that is not mine. I have no claim to said house and got lumped into this litigation from an issue from the 70s that became an issue.
And in a nutshell...
In a nutshell,
the litigation is about access to water. Is that what it comes down to?
Correct. It's using the old water system that's on the property instead of putting it in well.
And what are you asking the court to do with regards to any liability that might be found on your and Dr. Spaulding's part?
I'm asking not to have any liability associated with that case, considering I have no interest in the property. I've never been able to make decisions for the property. I'm not on the deed, and I had no say in any of the decisions around the water.
Is there any other litigation we need to inform the court of that you are aware that you are involved in as a named party?
Not ongoing.
What does that mean? Is it over?
Yes.
So in other words, that case has ceased. It's been resolved.
Yes.
Okay.
I was released from the storage unit case by the town.
Okay. If any liability was seen by the court to inure to yourself and Dr. Spaulding, what are you asking the court to do in that case?
I'm asking not to receive any liability. I know that the storage unit was deemed not farm use by the State Department of Ag, so the majority of the contents were relating to Ed Spaulding and his mother's. The container additionally has been, or multiple containers of the same content and location have been there off and on prior to my marriage to Dr. Spaulding. So I had very little say in the storage unit, considering one has been there off and on prior to me even being there.
Okay. From the other testimony that you heard of Dr. Spaulding, what, if anything, do you take issue with?
I take issue with the goat sales. I did receive only $5,500 for the goats. Any other additional Venmo charges, I don't know what he's referring to,
okay,
to be honest. Also, I take...
Because that money's gone, I'm taking it.
Yes, that, and it was not spent on my business. It was spent to get suitable furniture, considering Dr. Spaulding retained all of our property.
Okay, and what other parts of his testimony do you take issue with, if anything?
I take issue with the fact that Dr. Spaulding asserts he would take over the farm if I had left the goats. I take issue with that because Dr. Spaulding had to learn how to milk goats for 48 hours one time while I was gone. Other times I had to leave for residency, which were a total of maybe 3 times in our marriage. I had to hire outside help, and Ed was not capable of doing so, even if he stayed home. To his physical limitations, from my understanding, have barred his ability to manage goat care, which is why the goats and the farm was entirely my responsibility every day, all the time. So I take issue with the fact that he would have continued to run the farm. I also take issue with the $40,700 or whatever Dr. Spaulding asserted the goats would make. They have not ever made that in a year in the entirety of the goat ownership.
This is enough. The words were not Dr. Spaulding's, the words were hers, that the goats would make a profit of $40,000 over that in a year. She's testifying. She brought no documents to this.
She's
told knowingly false things. I can't even cross-examine her.
Let me cut to the chase. I'm not going to... I think the argument that Dr. Spaulding was making was that had the goats not been sold, he could have made income off of those goats, and therefore he's entitled to a future income stream based on the goats. That's what he testified to.
No.
I'm not going to award him any lost income stream for that. It's way too speculative. So let's just move on.
I'll move on. I have a note here about traumatic brain injury. Can you speak to that?
Yes.
Sorry.
Who has a traumatic brain injury?
I was hoping my client could explain.
I received a traumatic brain injury in February 2019. I received a traumatic brain injury on the way home from work. I had to go home and take a shower because prior to that I was required to help Dr. Spaulding write his readmittance to his PhD program essay. When I was turning to go home, I got rear-ended and I received a TBI
and
as a result of that.
Okay, and what role does that play in this case?
That role was that... Sorry, I'm remembering.
And if it's none, then we can say that. I had it down. I wanted to refresh. I wanted to bring that to your attention. And if there's something you needed to tell the court about that, I believe...
We're going to run out of time, but as a moment ago, she told this court that Edward's statement that the goats would generate over $40,000 a year in income was craziness. We've already established that they were her statements.
Okay.
She is saying that her statements were completely baseless. But, Your Honor, I need to say one more thing. This plaintiff, with Mr. Volz's knowledge, committed fraud upon you July 21st. There is a Rule 3.3 obligation for that to be corrected.
Stop you, because we're actually over time, all right?
I'm going to withdraw after this hearing, Your Honor. I'm not going to litigate this way.
Let me finish my statement.
Okay.
When you're making an objection, I think you're making an argument to discredit her testimony. You can make that argument, but that's not a basis to object to his questioning. So to the degree you've made an objection, it's overruled. I will let you cross-examine her. So let's go ahead.
Your Honor, I wasn't allowed to cross-examine her July 21st.
And I'm going to let
you
do that.
So he has cross-examined my witness fully and now brought his witness in on rebuttal.
So
And I can't
I won't let you cross-examine her on the testimony today and the testimony from the last hearing. So let's get to that. But let me have Attorney Volz finish his rebuttal testimony, and then you may cross-examine on this.
I do not understand. We had an hour here. Now we're into an hour and a half. I do not understand the procedures here. I don't have a right to withdraw after this, but I am going to move to withdraw. I came in here not as a family court lawyer, not as a Vermont lawyer.
Judge, I object.
But
it's
my time is eating up.
Mr. Hill, have a seat. Just have a seat. We'll get to that. We're not there yet.
Was there anything else about the TBI that we need to inform the court?
Yes, that is when the car was purchased. So I ended up needing to get a new car. After the car accident, my car was deemed totaled. The car that was deemed totaled was a gift from my parents. It was entirely paid off. So then I needed to get a new vehicle, which required a loan to do so. And I lost the equity that was in my parents' car that they gave me. Additionally, I believe it was mentioned that I was disabled, which is untrue. I began a master's program a couple months later.
Okay. Okay, and I wanted to ask you, are there any debts that Dr. Spaulding says are your obligation for the exhibits that have been admitted? Do you agree that you owe any of this money to Dr. Spaulding?
Let me look.
And I think P1 was an overview of at least some of those.
Yes. I just pulled up P1. The funds that were removed from the joint account were my student loan money. I do not agree to that one. The goat sales are, I do not agree to that. That is a wild number. The legal fees and the loan from Ed's family, I do not agree to those, as that's not my family to make an agreement with, and it is, I was not a part of it. I believe I was outside doing goat chores. And the litigation is not relating to a property that I have any interest in. Okay. There may be a residency for Ohio from September of 2024 that I would understand, and Dr. Spaulding wanting that.
How much is that?
I believe it was approximately $3,000.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you. I refute the credit card charges made during the separation. I'm not sure why I would be responsible for his charges during our separation. I paid for my own expenses during that time also. The Honda, I disagree with that as well. Like I said, I made my own payments on my own car, and the car that was totaled was mine.
Okay.
The car that was totaled was mine and was paid off, and additionally, we received more than the cost of that car in funds that, from the lawsuit from the car accident. I also object to the EMDR counseling and Dr. Cheney, because that is Dr. Spaulding's clinical supervisors, which I was paying for, well, technically, Dr. Spaulding was paying for and using his entire paycheck to pay for, which meant my paycheck and student loan money were our living expenses. I'm not sure why I would be responsible for Dr. Spaulding's clinical supervision for his own licensure and paying my own.
Okay.
And the New York House, I reject that also. The USDA denied the financing for that property. I did not pull out of that property. Financing was denied.
Okay. And lastly, is there anything else that he testified to that you take issue with?
He claimed that I spent $5,000 for that deposit for the New York property. That is, I think it was $5,150. That is untrue. That money came from my student loan money, which is why I had access to it, because it was in student loan money was the only money that was deposited into our shared account. All my paychecks went into Ed's personal account, which is money I did not have control over, since he made reference to the fact that I had full control over monetary funds, which is entirely untrue.
Okay. And this, that's, I mean, I could go on, but I understand we're under time constraints. Is there anything else that's not made?
Is there anything else what?
Anything else that you wanted to address before we turn?
I believe that's all I can think of at this time.
Thank you. Judge.
Okay, so this would be your time, Attorney Hill, to cross-examine Ms. Spaulding. Before we do that, Attorney Torog and Attorney Hazelton, I see you there. I also see Ms. Torres and Mr. Torres. We are running late. Rather than hold you, if you folks could come back here at 10:40, we'll try to get you back here at 10:40, and we'll come back for that status, okay? I don't want to have you keep waiting. So, you folks,
much appreciated. Thank you.
Back at 10:40. Okay, thank you. Okay, Attorney Hill.
You said a moment ago that you had nothing to do with the Shea litigation. Is that right, Ms. Spaulding?
Correct.
So if we were to say that in now admitted exhibit number, exhibit L, formerly known as exhibit 12, isn't it a letter, an email from you to your lawyers saying, hello, all, I just want to update you that we've been living in complete hell right now. Both Ed and I have intermittent high blood pressure from ridiculously high stress levels. You denying that you wrote that?
Looking for it. Needs of it.
Are you denying that you regularly wrote emails like this, Dr. or Ms. Spaulding?
I'm not denying that I wrote emails like this. I am denying that it has to do with the litigation. I was writing to inform them of the living conditions in our home and what living with Dr. Spaulding was like at that time. I did not inform them of any litigation.
You were writing to the litigating lawyer?
Correct.
But it didn't have to do with the litigation?
I didn't address the litigation in any way. I addressed the living expense, the living situation.
You told the court last time that you had signed the Shea settlement, didn't you?
I did.
But you didn't sign it, did you?
Incorrect.
Did you give the signature to anybody? Or did you sign it
yes.
in your pocket?
I did.
Who did you give it to?
My attorney.
Did you instruct your attorney not to give it to the court or the other side so they couldn't settle the case?
I instructed my attorney to wait until we understood what was going on before it was sent.
That's different than what you testified to July 21st, which is that you'd done all you could to sign to settle the Shea litigation. But you hadn't, because you hadn't given your signature page, correct?
I had given my signature page.
Not to the other side, only to your lawyer, correct?
Correct. That is the extent of my job.
And your lawyer wouldn't give it to the other side unless the other side agreed, by the other side I mean Dr. Spaulding, agreed to not say certain things in this case, this divorce case. Isn't that right?
I can't speak to what my attorney said to somebody else.
I'm afraid you have to, because your attorney is your agent,
no,
and this
no,
has been going
on
since August 5th, with emails going back and forth between your attorney and me about your statements. Now, if he's not telling
you, I wasn't a part of that.
That's another issue.
I can't speak to what my attorney says to you.
Okay, Your Honor. I am informing you today that Exhibit S will show fraud upon the court by Ms. Spaulding and her attorney, Mr. Gavin, and unfortunately also by Mr. Bowles, because the August 5th email in that exhibit shows that Mr. Gavin and Mr. Bowles were coordinating this together.
Coordinating what?
Coordinating the withholding of the signed statement in Shea so that Ed could not settle Shea until Ed gave up certain rights in this case.
Okay. All right. I understand the argument. I don't know what that has to do with me. That could be an issue you may have in the civil litigation. But the only thing that I can do today is award that house that is involved in the litigation to one of these two. And my understanding is he wants it and she doesn't. So he'll get the house. And what happens in the Shea litigation is going to happen in the Shea litigation.
Emphatically, they have waived any claim to the house, and that was repeated.
And don't worry about it, because I'm going to award him the house.
So I've been told many times not to worry about it, and I'm not worried about it. I've relied on that statement July 21st.
So what is, we have very little time, and what is it that the Shea litigation isn't, this court does not have jurisdiction over that, right? So to the degree that maybe Dr. Spaulding is looking for expenses related to the litigation, that's an argument, that's a debt. He can, the court's job is to divide debt. So that's something you can certainly argue, right?
At least divide. Why it's relevant, Your Honor, is that even today, Ms. Spaulding, Edward's mother, who was pulled in this because of plaintiff's actions, and our exhibits from July 21st shows that she was the instigator of that litigation and the litigation against the town, she still won't let them settle that case. And Judge Tomasi...
that have to do with me? What does that have to do with this divorce?
Because it has to do with the degree of the legal fees in Shea and the penalties in the container case that the plaintiff must be required to bear.
So your argument is that you want her to pay some of the ongoing expenses for Shea?
Absolutely. I also want her to be held in contempt of court for having knowingly lied and kept that lie in place from July 21st until today.
Okay, well, I'm not holding anyone in contempt. So continue. So do you have any more questions?
I do. You claimed at length that Dr. Spaulding had mistreated you. Do you remember that?
You need to speak up, Ms. Spaulding. You shake your head yes, but you need to...
I apologize. I do. I do remember that.
You believe that you were abused by your mother your entire life, don't you?
No. About the relevance.
I'm going to sustain that unless you can tell me why that's relevant.
Well, it goes to show that she will make allegations of abuse if it's in her interest excuse me?
Okay, so keep going. There's an objection. I'm asking why it's relevant, and you're making an argument that she's making claims of abuse because that's what...
Over 50% of her testimony July 21st was maligning my client. Had nothing to do with her student loans. And she said my client had abused her. I'm showing and asking her about Exhibit B because, and as Ms. Spaulding, Charlene Spaulding will testify later.
No. I've already admitted the exhibits. I don't need her testimony. You told me her testimony was to establish a foundation for one of your exhibits. I think it was Q. I've already admitted Q, so we don't need her testimony to establish it. It's in the evidence.
No, she has additional statements to give that are relevant. Ms. Spaulding stated that she spoke frequently with Charlene about her marriage and other matters and the abuse, about her marriage and other matters. Ms. Spaulding is here to rebut that today.
So let me just tell you, merit is a factor of the claim. You're going to look at us if I'm making something. Are you aware of that? It's only irrelevant. I agree with you. It's relevant. Abuse is relevant because it goes to the respective merits of the parties. Okay? But it's not going to have really almost any impact on my decision today. So to the degree that you wish to go into it, yes, I heard there's some testimony. It's clear to me that this is a relationship that is no longer healthy. But I'm not going to use any testimony that I may have received from her about abuse will not be weighted in my decision. You don't need to go further. So what I'm leaving.
Oh, if it's not going to be weighted at all, that's very helpful to know.
Is that what you're saying? I just said it's just one factor of many. So your testimony was, were you abused by the defendant? And she said yes. And then your question was, did you have allegations of abuse against your mother? And she said no. And there was an objection. So I'm going to sustain that objection. Continue. was asking you about questions.
In a limited amount of time, I'm not sure how to use it because...
Just please keep going.
If this case is only, as I've been told, and I'm hoping I'm hearing today, it's only about her student loans, and it's only about the dog. It's not, now I don't know, is it, does it go
well,
to merit?
Ask,
do I have to get into abuse?
Because we are running out of time. What I understand is, based on the testimony thus far, is there's been this litigation about student loans. They're each asking for compensation for the student loans that they contributed to the household. And they're both arguing they contributed more than the other one, and they want to have money pulled back from this from the assets to be able to be compensated. That's what I've heard. Now, with respect to the home, my understanding is that she is willing to give the marital home to the defendant because, again, it was his home beforehand. And
she's not giving it to him.
Well, let me just ask that to Attorney Volz because that's what I have from my notes. So she's willing, and this is what I understand, and if I'm wrong...
Judge, she disavows.
I will stipulate that she has waived any right to it, but that's not a gift.
Let me just get the offer from the folks. I understand that as marital property, she's willing to give that to him.
Yes.
There was a farm, a North Farm. She's willing to give that to him.
Yes.
There's a dog. She wants it.
Correct.
There'll be a claim for that. So that's the dog is in litigation. There's no joint debt, as my understanding. There's both a claim for the student loan debt that they both contributed. My inclination is to give everyone gets the debt in their own name. With respect to a property in Alabama, I believe there's, according to this point, there is no property in Alabama. So he gets the house. He gets the Northland Farm. Each gets their own retirements. The dog is an issue. What else am I arguing about? And the other thing I'm really arguing about is he's asking for over $100,000 worth of debt, which, frankly, I don't even know. These folks have no money. There's no liquid assets here. Right?
She wants the car, Judge.
And she wants her car, yeah. So she gets, I mean, I'm assuming there's no debt. Because even in your own proposed stipulation, you award her the car.
And then under personal property, any personal documents saved on any computer in the defendant's possession, also childhood stuffed animals, on page 2 at the top. And I did inform Mr. Hill in our very first conversation quite some time ago, she has no interest in the home at all. So when we talk about things, you can take that as a given. She does not want the house. She didn't contribute to it. She didn't. It was owned before the marriage.
He gets the house. He gets the Northland Farm. She gets the Honda. So far, Attorney Hill, any objection?
Not to those things, no.
Okay, well, that makes sense because he gets everything, right? So what assets are remaining?
Oh, in terms of the debts, we have, in our final stipulation, allowed her to pay the $100,000 over 5 years.
Okay.
$10,000 now. I mean, he's had to pay $1,500 for the transcript July 21st and copying costs and all sorts of things, and he's bankrupted.
Okay, so I understand that
she has bankrupted him and his mother, so we do want $10,000 paid.
Okay.
Your December 20th, 2024 order.
Is there any
order.
Joint debt? Is there any joint debt? That's my question.
As reflected in P1, there is not, there is joint debt.
What is a joint debt?
To the Martin Law Firm and to the, partly to the Barr Law Firm.
Now, agree with that, Attorney Volz?
Now, if she'll sign the settlement as she's and give her signed settlement we would withdraw.
Do you agree that there's joint debt, Attorney Volz?
I don't believe there is, in my client's opinion. Is there? Courtney?
I don't know. There is not. His credit cards were in his name. Those were all associated with him and his mother. All of the attorneys were hired by them. I didn't find attorneys. I don't know.
Are you saying that the Barr Law Firm is not representing you? Are you telling the court that?
I don't know who the Barr Law Firm is.
Chandler Mattson, are you saying he's not your attorney and never has been? Yes or no?
Jeff Gavin is my attorney.
Okay. I'm asking you not about Jeff Gavin, but about whether you're going to tell this court that Chandler Mattson, to whom fees are owed, was never your attorney. Yes or no?
I did not hire them. I have no signed agreement with them. I don't even know what they look like or who they are.
Your Honor, this is a problem because her failing to... Judge Tomasi may require the defendant and his mother to lose Chandler Mattson as their lawyer because of what Mr. Gavin and Courtney are doing in that case. If they don't come to agreement, they're going to lose, and it will cost them more money. It's a tremendous travesty.
So let me ask you, Attorney. Attorney Volz, I've got your stipulation here.
Exhibit 1, the property proposal.
Yeah.
And then you'll see on page 5 the debts as she, as my client, would like them divided.
All right. I had it in front of me, and I lost it, but I have it here somewhere.
I have plenty of copies. Would you like a copy?
And then for you, Attorney Hill, I've got your property stipulations in your exhibits. Is that right?
I'm sorry, what?
You have your picture. You have your, I appreciate that. You have your, actually what I'm looking for is your.
My final stipulation, you'd like?
Yes, I think that's actually filed in the exhibits. If you want to give me a copy, I'll take it.
Yes, it is filed. It has a stamp on it. Okay. It's filed with the court.
Yep, but if you have enough to copy, I'll take it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I've got both sets of exhibits. I think I've got all the testimony I need. All the exhibits are entered into evidence, so I'll have to have a chance to take a review of that. I don't generally require a closing argument. If you want to do proposed findings, you're welcome to.
No.
You do not require them. Attorney Volz, any need for...
No, we did fine. Judge has heard everything. The pressure of the time is too much.
Mr. Hill, you don't have to, because, again, I don't generally take them, but I'll give you the opportunity. I've got so much information here as it is. Do you wish to do proposed findings? I've got your stipulation, so I don't need them.
Yes, I would. Well, no, I don't want to do any written proposed findings, but I would like to do a closing today, yes.
All right, go ahead.
And a couple of other comments.
We're going to keep it very quick because we've got people waiting. And, again, I don't generally require...
I appreciate that, yeah. No, we would be satisfied with the final stipulation as we wrote it today if it comes in exactly as we wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
We've been unable to negotiate a settlement with Mr. Volz because despite Vermont guidelines and ABA guidelines, we haven't been able to even get on the phone with him or discuss negotiation settlement despite seven
requests.
That
doesn't matter to me because we're here now.
It matters to the court and ethics rules. RPC 3.3.
Tell me what you would like based on the factors that I have to look at. So this is your closing argument as to justify what you're really asking for. Because
what I want is, okay, I want the divorce to be made effective today,
mm-hmm,
or tomorrow or as soon as possible. There's nobody in this room, at least none of the parties, who disagree that the divorce should be granted right now, even if other issues.
Do you wish to waive the NYSI period?
Yes, we've already done that.
Okay. All right.
We do not want this divorce. Defendant's health is very, very bad. His mother's health is very, very bad. They own the house jointly. If this is strung out the way she has strung out the Shea litigation, it's a Damocles sword over their head.
I'm going to get this issued probably today or tomorrow.
So the divorce will be issued today or tomorrow?
If I've got a lot of documents that you submitted that I need to look at, so I'll do my best.
Second, Hazel, who never should have gone, the evidence is she is a farm dog. The testimony from the plaintiff is that she was hired for the farm. She should stay with the farm. Within 2 days, she should be returned.
Okay.
And if that's not the case, then let's have a mutually selected, or barring that, a court-selected Vermont veterinarian examine her condition,
mm-hmm,
and will abide by whatever the veterinarian says is in her best interest in terms of who to live with. And that veterinarian should also spend at least 10 minutes observing Hazel with the defendant and the plaintiff. That's in our paragraph 2 of our final stipulation. And paragraph 3, we agree plaintiff will need time to repay these extraordinary debts.
Mm-hmm.
So we're giving her 5 years, $10,000 within 2 weeks of the court's order, and then the balance of the amount owed over the next 5 years in five equal installments due on the first through fifth anniversaries. That would do it for us. We would not appeal this order barring that. But absent that, I'm going to withdraw or move to withdraw from this litigation because of the contents in exhibits S, T, X, and Y.
Well, you have to file a motion.
I know that, Your Honor. I said that earlier, and I will. But I'm saying that this is what we're going to do. Now, I may come back and take it on appeal, but I will not return to law, which is my nonprofit. We do not have the resources to litigate this case, not with conduct such as reflected in Exhibits S, T, and N.
Okay.
So that's what we'll do. And but no, if FS goes in the way it is, then it hopefully will resolve everything.
Okay, very good. All right. Thank you all. Welcome to our hearing. This matter is under advisement. Appreciate it.
All right.
And the 11 o'clock matter is resolved.
Oh, good. Thank you. Okay.
We probably still have to go on the record, but I'll stick around for that.